Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, the comedian, podcaster, broadcaster, presenter, Matt Ford.
And me, professional defecator, John Richardson. This is the podcast that needs you to come up with a new intro for us. Email hello@cpfbl.com with your suggestions.
We are delighted to be joined by one of the greatest comedians of the last 30 or 40 years and star of Father Ted. I don't know why I said 30 or 40. It made a compliment sound like...
I've been doing comedy since I was four.
Yeah. They also suggest it's in that ballpark. One of the greatest comedians of the last 34 years, but not 35.
That ended up sounding passive aggressive. I'm obviously a huge fan of Father Ted and the stand-up show on BBC back in the day. And my hero. We're delighted to be joined by Ardal O'Hanlon. Ardal, welcome to the show.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it's a privilege to have you on. Obviously, this is a show about football.
You're bigging me up in such a kind way.
I wish I'd have done it better, really. I'm regretting not thinking about it properly, but the intent was there. This is a show not just about football, but about Fantasy Premier League. Have you ever played it?
Yeah, I'm playing it at the moment. Ooh. Really badly, but I am giving it a go.
And how are you finding it?
I can't work out why it's going so bad for me this season. I feel like I've picked a good team and I'm still scoring. I think I scored about 35 points last week.
I'm doing okay, but I've always fancied myself as a football manager. I actually wrote to the Leeds manager, Jimmy Armfield, when I was about 10 to advise him on transfer policy, which is an absolute fact. So I always took it very seriously. And I'm a little bit baffled as well as to why I'm not doing better.
Can you remember what your advice to him was?
It was that he was right to get rid of Gordon McQueen, but that he shouldn't have got rid of Joe Jordan.
And did he reply?
He didn't reply. No, I was a bit disappointed. Hmm. But I'm sure he took it on board.
If anything, that suggests to me you were on the nose. Oh, I think that cut deep.
Yeah. I that would have been, you know, to me that would have been a perfectly sort of, you know, reasonable thing to do with my knowledge of football at the age of 9 or 10.
But that's the beautiful thing about being passionate about football, because really I don't think a 9-year-old knows much more than a 59-year-old in terms of what you know being on the terraces and what it's like to actually be a manager. I mean, Leeds now is a perfect example because Jesse Marsh was criticised, I would say, up until about 5-2 on Sunday. Yeah. And now everyone's decided, oh yeah, really, he actually does know what he's doing. And this whole Red Bull thing that we all criticised of having one plan. Actually, if that plan works, is really good. So I might enjoy football again.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, like, I was a skeptic, like I think every other Leeds fan. But he obviously has something. He just has that like ludicrous positivity that we associate with Americans.
Yeah.
And it somehow infected the players. It just reminded me, like, yesterday when I was watching the match, you know, like, and him, you know, running up and down, and he's undeterrible. So there was nothing anyone could have said to him over the last few months that would have given him pause for thought. You know, like, there was a survey I came across recently about Americans, you know, how positive they are. Like, something like 80% of Americans believe in hell, and they literally believe that hell is a real place that actually exists. But this is the bit I like. Only 1% of Americans think that they're going to go to hell. I think Jesse Marsh is a really good example of that. He definitely thinks he's not going to hell. Well, he's not now anyway. But And obviously in Britain, nobody believes in hell, but everyone thinks a lot more than 1% of Americans are going to end up there. But
I think 80% of British people believe they're already in hell.
This is what we voted for, Arnold.
Yeah, exactly. But so Jesse Marsh has gone from a nobody, a figure of fun, to overnight being, possibly a Leeds legend. I mean, that was one of the greatest Leeds victories, since their return to the Premiership.
It was phenomenal. Definitely. Fun. But obviously you've been a Leeds fan for a very long time. So why did you pick Leeds growing up where you did in Ireland at that time?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, Johnny Giles, who was on Manchester United books, and he didn't really get anywhere. And then he joined Leeds as a young player. And, I think he was one of, I think footballers from that era will name check Johnny Giles as one of the best players ever to play in the top flight in English football. So he was Irish. He became the captain of Ireland, and he was sort of my hero growing up. One of my heroes. Brilliant man. Really modest. Really down to earth. Good singer. He's well known for his crooning ability, which is important for morale in the dressing room. But I just loved him. And also, I suppose, some of the cooler lads on my street, so we played football all day long on the street as kids, and some of the cooler lads had the Leeds strip, and they were Leeds fans. So, I just went along with the flow, really. I think when you're seven, I think it's when you adopt a football team. For most people, it's when you're at your most impressionable. So I think it does follow, whoever won the league, that year is the team that you tend to follow. And it is interesting now, people my age are all Leeds fans in Ireland. If you're 2 or 3 years younger, you're a Liverpool fan. If you're a lot younger, you're a Manchester United fan. Or if you're a lot older, you're a Manchester United fan.
And what about any Forest?
I've never met a Forest fan.
What?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I apologize for that.
That's all right.
Speaking of sort of, delusional optimism, Fordy is convinced that everybody in the world loves Forest, that you could literally drop into a remote Paraguayan village in a Forest shirt and somebody would come up and say, "Oh my God, Brian Clough, European Cup." And I love hearing the noise he makes when someone says, "No, not really." I mean, I sort of think, yeah, they're doing all right, aren't they? Didn't they have a good year last year?
Yeah, well, we always had the thing, I suppose being a Leeds fan and I admired Clough and, yes. I love Roy Keane. Clough picked him out of nowhere, yeah. Rough diamond, turned him into the player that he became. But, Clough going to Leeds left a really sour taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. do you remember? Does anyone remember?
I've read in the books that it wasn't the greatest time for
all involved. Yeah, so there's that brilliant book, The Damn United, which is a fantastic book about obsession. The book is actually brilliant, but the film was really objectionable. Johnny Giles, amongst others, I think sued the filmmakers for the way he was represented in it. I sued the filmmakers for the way Leeds were shown. It was a disgrace. But Clough came in there and he was going to change the culture overnight in Leeds. And you had some very strong players, Bremner, Charlton, Hunter, Giles and all these fellas, Clark, Jones, and they weren't standing for it at all. Clough told them that they were cheats basically when he came in, and that they had brought the game into disrepute by the way they played, by that kind of ultra professionalism they brought to the game. But as a kid, you weren't aware of that. I just thought they were brilliant.
And talking of iconic managers, when Bielsa left, were you as upset as John was, and are you over it now?
I was upset, from the point of view is I absolutely loved him. He was just a great man. Never mind football manager. He was just a beautiful human being.
You said to be off again. I thought I was over it, but the way you're talking is bringing it all back.
I mean, he was just so, there's all those apocryphal stories about him, where he lived above a Costa coffee in a village, not far from Leeds, not far from the training ground. He had the council paint a line on the road that brought him from his little flat above the coffee shop to the training ground so as he wouldn't have to look. He could just concentrate on what he was going to do that day at the training ground. So he just had this red line that brought him all the way, so he didn't have to look left or right, or he just could focus on the training that lay ahead.
I didn't know that. The council agreed to that and did it.
Well, this is one of those stories. I don't know if it's true, but if I was the council, I'd agree to anything Bielsa asked me to do.
Yeah.
If I'd have heard that story while he was here, I would have got some red paint and I would have painted that line right to my front door.
Yeah.
And just hoped that every day he just followed it blindly and walked 7 hours to just knock on my door.
Yeah. But you know what, like, and I am sentimental, like most football fans. And, you know, I was very sad for him that it came to this. But I don't think any Leeds fan, like, you know, thought that there was anything else we could have done. You know, like we were losing, we were being drubbed week in, week out. And, you know, something had to happen. Like he had flogged the players and they couldn't give him any more. And I'm sure none of them, nobody resented him. No fan resented him. No player would have resented him. And, you know, they would have walked over glass for him. But ultimately, something had to give.
And do you have Leeds players in your FPL team?
I do. But like, you know, like everyone else, I was devastated when Rafinha went and Phillips went. So I have Melier, the keeper, but I have him on the bench. And I have, because I did think we were going to ship quite a few goals this year, but I had to have a few token Leeds players. Like I there's nothing practical about my fantasy football team, really. I also had Bamford as well, but again, being injury prone, I subbed him out this week, or I transferred him out this week for Mitrovic.
Ooh,
yeah, which was canny. But I might bring him back in when he gets fit again.
And what's your FPL team called?
Oh, I don't want to tell you.
Why
it's
not?
Really bad. It's terrible. I'm really embarrassed because, you know, I am a creative artist and I write words for a living. And I've come up with a really terrible name. It was just, I didn't think about it. I didn't put any thought into the name. Okay. It's Good Engines.
It's nice. It's got, there's something wholesome. It almost feels like a Thomas the Tank episode.
Yeah. I know, and which reminds me, I was actually asked to voice one of the parts in Thomas the Tank.
No way.
When I was a young man, yeah.
Was that Ringo era or post-Ringo?
It was, oh God, now you have me. So, well, it was mid-90s, so...
Yeah, I think Ringo Starr was still doing it.
Yeah, I think he was. But you see, the problem was I wasn't asked to be a train, so I was asked to be a cement mixer.
Okay.
And
is that why you said no?
Yeah, that's why I said no, because it was like... It was Irish stereotyping.
Oh, no. Who knew that jingoism existed on the Isle of Sodor?
But,
do you want to shout out now? I don't know how far this podcast reaches, to be honest. I think if we're honest, it's largely FPL nerds. But if one of them happens to have an in on Sodor, do you regret that decision? Would you go back if you were offered a train?
Yeah, I would take it now with the cost of living crisis and everything.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, why don't we just do it now? All was quiet on the Isle of Sodor. Ardle, the white engine, was stuck just outside Elland Road.
It's a great cloth.
You should have got a part. You should have got a
part. Do you think? I mean, I'd have happily played any jingoistic part. I'll do pretty much anything for money.
You must have done these auditions for sort of Hollywood animated movies. Have you ever sort of come close? Or because that to me is the dream, that you get flown to America, you spend 2 weeks in a studio for about 5 hours doing a stupid voice, and then you mooch about, nobody knows what you're doing, you have a right laugh.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me recently that what they do is they get comedians to audition for those voices and basically write the script and hone a funny voice, and then they give it to Ben Affleck or whoever they really want to do it.
It's a disgrace. I once played Hammy the Hamster.
Ooh.
in a full length feature version of Tales of the Riverbank, and it was a bit like that, except the production ran out of money, so we had to go in at the very beginning and just do a guide track for the animators, and then the whole production ran out of money, so they had to use the guide track, which was just like kind of semi improvised, sort of poor sound quality. But I've done a few of them, and I haven't done anything big in Hollywood, but I've done loads of animations where I usually end up playing a cow, but you can have a lot of fun being just a big goofy cow.
Is that a sort of spirit thing that people hear your voice and think of a cow? Is that just because you have a generation now of producers who probably idolized Father Ted and remember that one scene, and just in your head, they just think, he's the cow guy?
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
We've just done, speaking earlier of sort of Bielsa's commitment to thrashing players and being forced to perform whether you want to or not. You were amazing on Taskmaster, I have to say.
Thank you so
much.
As
someone who struggled with it. It's one of those jobs that you take and then I guess it's all people sort of talk to you about for a bit.
Yeah, well, it was one of those jobs that I probably would have run a mile away from a few years ago, because like I was always very shy about being myself on television. Like I love playing parts in TV shows, even stand up. Like it's kind of a persona, you know. You sort of armor yourself when you go on stage with your jokes, and you have a kind of a heightened version of yourself or whatever. So I was always a bit shy about being myself on TV. And I was a bit nervous about it, but like, you know, we'd been trapped at home for 2 years in the pandemic. Mm. So I jumped at it when I was asked to do it, just to get out of the house and you know, play with adults for a change rather than my own immediate family. And it was the best fun I ever had at work, I have to say. It was really liberating. And, you know, I thought I'd be really self-conscious and, you know, uptight and stiff. And you know, it's just the whole tone of it is just so infectious. You just get giddy. You're just giddy all the time there. And I can't explain it. It was just a beautiful thing. And I think I was really lucky with the bunch of people we had as well. Everyone got on quite well. And it was just...
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah. It's sort of every now and again, I don't know if your series was like mine, you'd sort of creep towards taking it a bit seriously and then realise you're arguing over whether somebody sort of ate purple scrambled egg fast enough. And it inherently checks that side of you that gets a bit, I guess, like in football and things, wanting to be a bit competitive, and then you think, oh, this looks really bad for me.
Yeah,
I get emails about I wouldn't let Joe Wilkinson have, he threw a potato in a golf hole and his shoe touched the mat. And I still get tweets about it to this day. People are still angry with me about it.
Yeah. I know, like, by nature, I would be very competitive. Like when it comes to any sport, football, tennis, anything like that, Scrabble, anything, you know, I want to win, and I want to win badly, and I'm probably a very unpleasant person to play with. but, you know, I very quickly realized that I was going to be utterly useless at this thing. And I think I'm pretty comfortable once I know I'm useless at something, and then I don't, I'm not so competitive about it. And with that, it is truly ridiculous to be competitive. Like I was quite happy to, like yourself, John, to undermine the others at every opportunity like that.
It was lovely to see you do that, because I think because of the sort of characters you've played, people are more surprised. Your stand-up, when I worked with you in Kilkenny, I absolutely adored it. And the little barbs that you have, I think because people aren't expecting them, you don't have to say anything particularly nasty to suddenly come across as really nasty, because I think people just don't expect you're going to do it. And then you can say something quite, you know, not too bad, but the minute you're the one saying, oh, I don't think you should get any points for that, it's inherently, it's 10 times funnier.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I enjoyed that side of it anyway. But yeah, I just found it, like, you know, just genuinely, like, I think I changed as a person doing that show.
Oh
yeah, I mean, you know, big talk.
Yeah.
Like I kind of got over that sort of self-consciousness which I've always had, you know.
I didn't realize it could have such profound like life-changing and life-affirming side effects doing Taskmaster.
Well, I think it was partly due to the pandemic. We shot it like that first summer after the really horrendous first 6 months of the pandemic. Or I think it was then we shot it, but it was during one of the summers anyway, where there was still a lot of restrictions in place. Like I had to get special permission to leave Ireland to go over and film it. I had to get a letter because there was police at the airports in Ireland. So, you know, we were still living in that kind of uncertain period. So, and I think the others felt the same. And it was the first time an audience were allowed back in. So I think they'd shot a few series of Taskmaster without an audience, and I think that was a bit weird for people. And we had an audience. And so there was a really giddy atmosphere. And it was emotional, you know, like I, with the others, like, you know, there were, everyone was very emotional during the week, and particularly at the end of the week when we finished up in the studio. So it was a special time.
Obviously, Taskmaster involves a level of forfeit and things like that. And we've got to do an end of season forfeit on this show. Sean Dyche suggested that we run around a broom 20 times on the halfway line, run and try and take a penalty. Are there any forfeits that you can think of that whoever finishes below the other between John and I at the end of the season, we should do? And it really can be anything. I mean, people have suggested we electrocute each other, slap each other around the face. There's all sorts of things.
I think one of you should change your name by detail to Brendan Fogelman.
How long for?
Just for a month.
Okay. I mean, that would be a heck of a thing.
I mean, if that's the month of August, that makes your Edinburgh very tricky.
Yeah, would I have to change my posters?
Who's this Brendan Fogelman?
Well, you could adopt a character. I mean,
might be the making of it.
I mean, so Brendan Fogelman. And he probably works on a building site with a cement mixer.
Could do, yeah. Or he could be a tax inspector, or, you know, he could be a life coach.
Ooh, like a Tony Robbins type character.
Oh, I'll tell you who he could be. I'll tell you exactly who he is. And this is actually a good idea for Edinburgh Show anyway, whether you use the name Brendan Fogelman or not. He could be one of those guys, you know, like when you get a new thing, like, yeah, and you have to assemble it and you go on YouTube. And
yes,
there's always a man there who opens the box and he shows you everything and he takes it all out and he puts it all together for you. You could be that guy.
Yeah, I fixed my boiler using one of those guys.
I assembled a new barbecue there last week, and there was some great chaps online.
Brendan Fogelman fixes ... and then each YouTube video is a different thing.
Yeah,
it's the Fogelman fix.
Oh, brilliant!
God, in a way, I hope I lose now. I'll be really disappointed if John gets to do this.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm sticking with tax inspector. As soon as you said that, I don't want to be on YouTube, you know. I want to be a tax... That's secretly what I would love to do, is poke around in the finances of complete strangers and then tell them off. Yeah. I think that's what my spirit animal is anyway.
And what sort of tax would you go? Would you go income tax or would you go corporate? Would you go for the big dogs?
No, because there's, you know, I'd definitely go real personal. And I would start with National Treasures. I would be trying to bring down Attenborough, Dench, all these people. That would be a real piece of work.
Oh, that's way better.
Yeah, an absolute horror. We also let our listeners set our features, because, frankly, it's easier. And depressingly, they're better than us. So all we ask is a sort of football pun in the name of the feature. The feature runs for about 5 minutes and then we move on to a new one. So Twin Dad FPL has suggested a feature called Matty Cash in the Attic. And all you have to do for that, Ardle, is nominate what you think the best piece of football memorabilia that you have in your house or in your loft is.
Oh, that's easy. I have a bit of Ellen Road turf.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a clump. It's just a clump of grass with a little bit of mud at the end, a little bit of dried mud. That's all.
When did you get it? And did you clump it out yourself?
I didn't. It was an intrepid sort of pioneer. So somebody who had been there long before I had been there. My first trip to Ellen Road was probably when I moved to London in the mid 90s. So it would have been 94.
And I would have been... That's where my first game was.
Oh, really?
I wonder if our first games were that. My first game was 1st of October 1994, Leeds 2, Manchester City 0.
Wow. Well, the first time I saw Leeds live would have been, they would have come to London. So it would have been playing QPR.
Right.
I remember QPR were protesting at halftime and there was police on horses clearing the fans off the ground at halftime. So it probably would have been later. It would have been October, November 94 for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Could have been the same game.
And you were there with your mate, Brendan Fogelman, who was a professional clump taker at that point.
Yeah. No, so a clump taker had gone over like maybe 2 years earlier, like from Dublin, and he had brought me back a little bit of turf.
And how have you preserved it then?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just keep it in a little, you know, a little plastic thing like your driver's license might be in, something like that.
Oh, so it's perished.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's you wouldn't know what it is now. It's just
grass dust.
Yeah,
you can't help but look at it and imagine. So you're talking about sort of 92.
Yeah, and I used to carry that around in my pocket like for years.
Like the ashes of a loved one on a necklace.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a lovely thing to have. I also have a football signed by all the Leeds team. There was a brilliant event in Dublin in, it would have been 19, what's the 30th anniversary of 1972?
2002.
So there was an event in Dublin. So some entrepreneur, but also a Leeds fan, he got together the entire 1972 Leeds team. The only person missing was Bremner, who had passed away at that stage, and Revy had passed away as well at that stage. So everybody else was there, the entire Leeds team from the 70s, including players who had even come before. John Charles was there, for example.
Wow. And
players who'd come a bit later, like Duncan McKenzie, Forest alumnus.
Yes. Great after dinner speaker.
Yeah, so he was there, and Tony Curry was there, and people like that. So you had the core early 70s team, plus a few before and after. So it was an absolutely amazing event for people like me and all the Leeds fans of Ireland. And I got to speak at the event, and Johnny Giles sang. And they were, what was really brilliant about it was, so I got a signed ball then. There was an auction afterwards, and they all signed it. So I got the signed football as well, which I've kept. And what was brilliant about it was how humble they all were, how lovely they all were. Most of these guys had grown up, like, within, you know, they'd grown up around Leeds. They got the bus to training, you know, they spent a lot of time. Revy always had them out doing, you know, good works and stuff like that. And they were just lovely and had loads of time for everyone, loads of chat. It was just brilliant to actually, you know, they say you shouldn't meet your heroes, but in this case, it was just amazing.
John Charles, I didn't sort of, I didn't know there was crossover with John Charles. I'd love to have met John Charles.
Yeah. But... yeah. Basically, they invited anyone who had a big association with Leeds, you know, who is still around.
Let's talk about your book before we go. The book Brouhaha's just come out. What is that about?
That is, on the surface, that is a kind of a crime thriller. But it's about the attempts to find out what happened to the person who went missing a few years ago. But it is set in the border region in Ireland, so it has this kind of social, kind of historical dimension to it. And it's kind of like a satire as well about small town life generally. And, I think it works on a few different levels. It's a sort of existentialist thriller, if you want.
Sounds great. Just to return briefly to stand-up, obviously, certainly back in the old days, people used to get heckled a lot. We've been having a discussion on this podcast for a few weeks now. Have you ever been called, or have you ever called anyone else, a shit eater?
No, it wouldn't be my go-to term of abuse. No.
Yeah, we think we've hit upon a kind of social phenomenon where this is happening more than the authorities thought, and we're just trying to shine a light on it.
No, I haven't actually even come across it that much.
Until
you don't strike me as someone who would call someone a shit eater.
No, it's the C word for me.
Is there a lot of that if it's a crime thriller novel? Is there a sort of a swear word that you've lent on, or like a particularly an Irish specific one? Is there a lot of swearing in the book?
There is quite a lot of swearing in the book. All right, yeah. Some of the characters would be, some of it would be quite graphic. Like, I always love shows like Deadwood. Do you remember Deadwood?
Yeah,
brilliant drama series with the best swearing ever of all time. Like, it was just. Swear word piled upon swear word. It was gothic. It was just a fantastic exercise in profanity. So that inspired
very
me.
Odd thing when you don't get that, though, isn't it? When you, there's this odd thing where a very traditional tea time audience who love the chase and things like that also love things like Midsummer Murders, where people get bludgeoned with a pickaxe in a cricket club, but they won't have swearing. So it's fine to watch someone get bludgeoned to death, but then the officer will have to say "Cripes." Yeah. Or something like that. Then at no point does anyone say, "His fucking head's off."
Yeah. I know it's, but it's like the Bible Belt in America. You know, you've got these gun nuts, but like, they don't even say curse; they say cuss.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure catching up, and mainly talking Leeds. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved you knocking down the Forest stuff. It's just been a joy.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
I could talk about football all day long.
Matthew, what beers have you been enjoying this week?
Pilsner from Roosters. is delicious. And as well as being available in a can, it's also the best-selling beer at Rooster's Tap Room in Harrogate, which has 16 different beers available on cask and keg. And I'm telling you, John, the moment I can get to that place, I am there.
Well, good news, because we will be there. They have a private event space, and there will be some CPFPL live shows coming from the Tap Room later this year. So stay tuned for news of that. And Mickey P. Kerr, a Leeds United fan, friend of ours, he hosts a regular night there. He's got some amazing lineups coming up. He's got Maisie Adam, he's got Josh Pugh, he's got Brennan Rees. So they're all coming up in the months ahead at the Tap Room.
For more information and for tickets on the next gig, which is on September the 29th, go to the Tap Room section of the Roosters website, roosters.co.uk, and you get 20% off with the magical CPFPL code, CPFPL20. Enter that at the checkout at roosters.co.uk until the end of September.
That's all we've got time for this week. We will be back next week with two more episodes, two more guests. One of those will be comedian and depressingly good FPL player Russell Howard. Send in your questions for Russell, send in any forfeit ideas, send in former ideas for him to judge,
and get in touch on Twitter at comediansfpl. Email us hello@cpfpl.com. you can find us on Insta and Facebook, and leave a 5-star written review and tell all your friends. Bye
bye.